Alec and Mabel. For several decades, the steady transformation of the world continued as the consequences of the telegraph spread around the globe. But then, starting in the 1860s, a long pause began. Partly, it was because one of the main centers of innovation, the United States, was consumed by an awful civil war and its repercussions. But even into the 1870s, there was still no fundamentally new technology. Wall Street and the City of London had plenty of money to fund new ideas, but only if they were easily understandable ideas, ones that merely modified what could already be done. Yet electricity's greater effects, the next power tapped from the vast number of charged particles hidden inside us, would come through creations that were hitherto unimagined. Only in the hot summer of 1875 did the first of such fundamentally new inventions appear, and it was the work of the most innocent of young men, a 28-year-old teacher who'd set up his own tutoring business in Boston. He was driven neither by avarice nor the urge for power. His invention came because he was in love. Unfortunately, the object of his affections, Mabel Hubbard, "You do not know," he desperately wrote, "you cannot guess how much I love you," was one of his students, and this meant he felt obliged to declare his interests to her parents first. But although he emphasized his fine prospects and even made sure her parents had seen his flourishing signature, where an added K made his name A-L-E-C-K and not the humdrum A-L-E-C, they were unimpressed. For Mabel was from a very rich family. Her father owned much of downtown Boston. She was also barely 17 and, most important, she'd had scarlet fever when she was a child. The infection had spread to her ears, destroying her hearing. Alec was a teacher of the deaf, and Mabel had been able to hear no sound or music or voice for more than 10 years. She'd learned some signing and lip reading, but lived a protected life. Alec was firmly forbidden to declare himself. Their first attempt to keep their courtship secret lasted about 24 hours, for Mabel's older sister decided to help things along by inviting this intriguing older teacher to the family house. She even left Alec alone with Mabel in the garden for at least 10 minutes before interrupting them to present a handful of flowers to play "He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not." After that episode, Mabel's parents gave Alec another talking to, and a few weeks later, her mother read him a letter that, she explained, would finally prove that it was over. In it, Mabel seemed to be saying that she was not in love with her teacher, and that was that. Alec vowed he would respect the wishes of Mabel's parents, and his vow this time actually lasted all the way till August, when he tracked the family down at their summer home in Nantucket. On his first day at the Ocean House Hotel on the island, there was a tremendous thunderstorm, and he stayed inside, pouring out his heart in a letter. "I have loved you with a passionate attachment that you cannot understand. It is for you to say whether you will see me or not." The next day, he went to her house to deliver it, was met at the door by Mabel's cousin, and was told again that Mabel was not going to see him, that she didn't love him, that it was over. It's said that blindness separates you from things, but deafness separates you from people. Alec had been determined to bridge this separation, not just through words, for he could already communicate with Mabel, but in the contact of real love. He was disconsolate all the way back to Boston, but he was also bursting with ideas, and he had spent almost a year now coming close to a very good one indeed. For his full name was Alexander Graham Bell, and he was about to create the telephone. By the early 1870s, when Alec had arrived in America from Britain, it had seemed possible to send more than one signal over a standard telegraph line. Think of someone drumming a very fast pattern with his right hand and a separate, slower pattern with his left hand. Each hand is sending a sequence of taps, and they overlap in time, but if you listen carefully, you can distinguish the two patterns. Alec had been one of the inventors working on that, in fits and starts, but then he'd become distracted by the far stronger idea that he might be able to shunt entire sounds rather than mere clicks down a telegraph line. He built a prototype to try out that idea. In March 1875, a half year before the declaration to Mabel's family, he'd taken his apparatus to someone he'd heard had once been important in science, the now aged Joseph Henry, retired Princeton professor. It was an electric wire stretching out from a battery and connected to a single tuning fork. By switching the battery on and off, he can make the tuning fork hum in various ways. Alec asked if he should develop this himself, or just let others go ahead. As he remembered years later, I felt that I had not the electrical knowledge necessary to overcome the difficulties. Henry's laconic answer was, "Get it." I cannot tell you how much these two words have encouraged me. Now, back in Boston, Alec realized he did have a chance to win Mabel's hand after all. What if he went ahead and finished his invention? There would be money and fame, respect from her parents, and, could they be so lucky, a grand wedding bursting with flowers. A handful of other inventors had reached this point, but none that Bell was aware of had been able to go further. Alec's love, however, extended not just to Mabel, but to the whole community of the deaf. It was a powerful motivation. His own mother had been unable to hear. That was what had led him to start his tutoring business in the first place. He had grown up in a family where understanding how a sound could be communicated was central to every daily task. His grandfather had been an actor and elocution expert. George Bernard Shaw modeled Professor Henry Higgins in Pygmalion, partly on his example. Indeed, Alec's father had spent so much time helping his wife communicate that he'd realized that the usual way of classifying speech, simply making long lists of all possible sounds, was never going to help a deaf person.